In a few minutes, the gray zone before a person gets an Alzheimer's diagnosis is a financial hazard. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Momentarily, we'll get a reading on consumer sentiment. It will cover this month, October. This is an issue with the trade war and business investment tapering off. Many of Friday, we consult Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial in New York.
As an economist, I can tell you I very much want to know how consumers are doing, because in the last GDP report, consumers were pretty much single-handedly carrying the economy. So they are earning a little less. There's less job growth than there was last year. And hours worked are down a bit. We know business sentiment is at a three-year low. So, I would say it's rather a delicate situation, and we're paying a lot more attention to things like retail sales and consumer sentiment than we would normally.
Briefly, we do have a Fed meeting next week. They're going to cut interest rates, you think?
Absolutely. They'll cut one more time, but what we're really watching is guidance for the future. I'd love to see open-mindedness to one more cut, just in case the economic data don't improve between now and the December meeting.
All right. That's Chris Lowe at FTN Financial. Always good to talk to you.
Thanks, David.
This spring, we reported in depth on how people aging normally can become more susceptible to financial exploitation by scammers or even family. Well, there's data out today in the journal Health Economics that people with early-stage dementia, people who have not yet been diagnosed, are at a higher risk for losing money. Carol Roan Graysons is a professor at the Department of Health Systems Administration at Georgetown University and lead author of the study. Welcome.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So you are talking here about people who may not have a diagnosis of dementia?
Absolutely. And I think what our research really speaks to is the particular vulnerability of people prior to a diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease. And what we know is that oftentimes you can go for years with mild symptoms before you get a diagnosis, because diagnosis only comes when your symptoms are severe. So what happens is you have this multi-year period where people are experiencing these symptoms, but families might not be aware. And so individuals are susceptible to large reductions in liquid assets and reductions in net wealth.
Some people in early stages of dementia may make poor financial decisions, but are they also more vulnerable to exploitation, to scams?
So we definitely think that part of the reason these poor financial outcomes are occurring is the reduction in financial capacity. And by that, I mean the ability of people to manage their money, pay bills on time, invest wisely. But it's also the case that these individuals may be especially vulnerable to financial exploitation. And what's concerning about these findings is that these negative changes in financial outcomes are occurring just as these families are going to be faced with large and substantial costs of caregiving when individuals actually enter the final stage of dementia when symptoms are severe.
The lesson here for the loved ones, for often the adult child of the person we're talking about, is what? To be aware earlier that this could be going on?
I think there's really two implications. One is that, yes, family members should be checking in, even if there aren't any obvious signs of cognitive impairment. Good to make sure that things in terms of spending look like they're on track and are consistent with however that person was spending their money, investing their money in the past. And the second thing I think this raises is the potential important role of financial institutions. I think we need to know more about the specific kinds of policies that might be helpful.
And indeed, your research continues. What's this about? You're trying to match credit data with Medicare claim data. What might that help you understand?
We're exploring the potential of being able to use financial indicators to see if we could help predict who might be at risk for Alzheimer's disease. I think it could be an important signal for helping to activate the safety net around people, getting families to make sure they're paying attention.
Carol Roan Graysons is a professor at Georgetown's Department of Health Systems Administration. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
Now, if you search Brains and Losses Marketplace, you'll be able to hear the audio documentary we did and get resources about what to do in the face of age-related financial vulnerability. The latest edition of a military-themed video game that never dies comes out today. Call of Duty Modern Warfare will be full of violent and realistic scenes. Marketplace's Erica Barris has more on what's expected to become the best-selling video game in the U.S. this year.
The new Call of Duty game, Modern Warfare, is full of lifelike, violent depictions.
The rules of engagement have changed.
And split-second decisions. For example, do you, the player, shoot a mother holding a baby? How about when she picks up an explosive device? Dimitri Williams, a media professor at the University of Southern California, says despite criticism about the level of violence in those games, they're going to keep getting made.
This is almost entirely driven by player demand. Players want something that's the most realistic, the most intense, the most real.
And that demand for hyper-realism has made the Call of Duty franchise billions of dollars. Michael Pachter is a research analyst at Wedbush Securities. He says Call of Duty has also been successful because of the game's social aspect. Tens of millions of people play.
And they all switch over to the new version when the new one comes out because all their friends switch over.
Pachter says the new Call of Duty game is expected to sell 20 million units over the holiday season. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
And the biggest government investment fund in the world is the one held by Norway to leverage its oil money. Well, there's news today. That sovereign wealth fund has grown to a record $1.1 trillion, helped along by the rising stock market and the strength of the dollar. That fund's CEO said it all today, quote, "We were lucky to have discovered oil." Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Miguel Contreras. Our engineer, Brian Allison. Our fellow is Erica Soderstrom. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.